This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
If we played every game at home, we'd win the league, not a problem. We can't do that, but yeah, we like playing at home when we run out, you know, in front of our supporters. It lifts us, it boosts us, it gets us on the front foot, and I think that was down to a lot of the results last year. More of a responsibility on us to make sure we entertain them for spending the hard-earned money on season tickets. You know, I think the owners have always been very conscious of that side of it, and hopefully have priced them sensibly, which is another reason to make them affordable, because certainly football at the top level these days isn't affordable to a lot of people.
At the last count, 4,450 season tickets had been sold, and this Saturday Nigel Clough's men take to the Wankhorn Stadium stage, perhaps feeling the pressure to entertain. The Stags need to step things up a level after a false start at Salford saw the hosts run out 2-0 winners and dampen the early spirits. Tonight we'll look back on that defeat and try and figure out what went wrong. We'll also turn our attention to those home comforts with Tranmere Rovers, the visitors on Saturday. Have we got the personnel to play Clough's 3-5-2? Should we be worried about the strength in depth? Will the seats be bird doo-doo free? And will we finally get unburnt sausage rolls as we return home? Speaking of returning faces, Ollie Hawkins is back from suspension. We'll talk attitude and application as the towering former frontman gets praise from me.
Just got to work on things better than to not get yellow carded as much, and it's an experience really playing at the back. I feel like it's a position you need to play over the years and to really study it and master it. Obviously I haven't mastered tackling, so this season I've just got to really make sure my tackles are less yellow cardable.
And as ever, we'll have your comments, questions and opinions in the live feed. Why? Because Mansfield matters. Well, here we are, just about. Good evening and welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. It's been a catalogue of errors in the Mansfield Matters HQ today. First day in the new job for me, meaning that I wasn't quite sure what time I'd get home. M1 traffic, looked like I wasn't going to get home till about 8 p.m. Managed to get through it and here we are. And then it's technical problem after technical problem. But there you go. That's what happens when Alan Wilson goes away on holiday and when Nathan can't make it and when Cam just becomes Cam. So tonight, it's one of those things, isn't it, where, you know, it could be very, very difficult indeed. So as always, we need you guys to get involved in the comments and have your say on your team. Now, I'm rambling for a little bit because Clive has just logged off to log back on. But last season, we had the super sub in Alan Wilson. And this season, I'm going to call him the super, super, super sub. We're going transatlantic and we're going to say hello and good evening to the Norwegian Stag. How are you, my friend?
Hello. Hello, Greg. I'm fine. I'm a bit nervous, a bit shaky, but I'll be all right.
You'll be absolutely fine. So for those who don't know, just tell us a little bit more about yourself, who you are, what you do, and what your relationship with Mansfield Matters is.
Well, I'm, as the name suggests, a Norwegian Stag supporter. And yeah, what can I say? 29 years old, working as a journalist, and absolutely love football. And first and foremost, of course, the Stags. Been, yeah, as they say, it's a hard way, it's an easy way, it's the bloody Mansfield Town way, and the roller coaster. I just love getting involved with it and watching the games, and yeah.
So tell us how your love affair with Mansfield Town really started, because there are so many teams that you could pick from being an overseas fan. So why on earth did you choose Mansfield Town?
Well, as I've said in the blog that on your forum, that me and my people just looking at the League Two table back in, must have been 2007. It would be fun to just pick a team and stick by them and like, watch them throughout whatever happened, and without really having anything other than my instinct, my finger just stopped on Mansfield. I don't really know what the reason did it, but here I am 15 years later still following him on with all the social medias and follow and such.
Fantastic. Well, 15 years as a Stags fan from overseas is one hell of an achievement. We'll try and get you involved as much as we can tonight. Those watching on the live stream, please just bear in mind that he is the Norwegian Stag for a reason. He is in Norway. So you've got to bear that in mind when it comes to the old connectivity issues and things like that. But we'll try and get him involved as much as we can. And if you want to find out a little bit more about our Norwegian Stag guest, he also has a regular blog this season on our website, mtfcmatters.co.uk. So go and check that out. Let's go back to UK soil. He's managed to log on his iPad. Good evening, Clive. No, can't hear you. He's there you go. He's on me. We have to sort his microphone issue. I can't hear him. Couldn't hear a word he was saying. As always, get involved in the chat and have your say on your team. I think this is going to be a very, very long night indeed. Let's read some of these comments. Rogers kicked us off tonight saying, evening, I'd like to see Hewitt back in at right back personally. Stian Richard in the comments says, praised your haircut. He says, nice haircut. Compliments to the barber. Proper Norway haircut. We also have Jamie who says Hawkins will be back up front. Hawkins will never be back up front. Hopefully we can get a new striker coming through the door soon. And Mark says evening as well. Yeah, please keep your comments coming in and have your say on your team. Well, let's start by talking about Salford, Stian, and of course, a defeat on the opening day of the season. After the pre-season we'd had, were you a little bit disappointed by the result on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, I had my hopes as everyone else. And I mean, the change of formation has been a subject, but it's been looking good during pre-season. So I thought, yeah, I was excited. I was hoping for a bit odd, some of the choices that Cloughy made with, I mean, he was talking about players might get involved in that central back line, such as Ole Clark and Jordan Bowery. But when I saw Macca being dragged in there, I had some doubts. And then, of course, everything went sour pretty quickly.
Yeah, it did. I think that's a very, very frustrating thing, to be honest, because, you know, you look at the way we were in terms of structure at the back. Like you said, it felt very, very square pegs in round holes. And I can't quite get my head around why Nigel Clough started with a back three when he even admitted himself post-match he didn't have the personnel to do it.
Yeah, both Archie and Hawkins missing. And yeah, I was at least expecting Barry to be the third option in central defence. Even though he hasn't had that much experience in it as well. But yeah, looking back, it might have been better just using the regular formation.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see if we can get Clive involved. Third time lucky. Evening, Clive.
I can hear you.
Doing that on purpose. Oh dear. How are you? Are you okay?
Yes, I'm perplexed by the internet. I've no idea why I've gone from being superhero to zero.
It's happening all over the place. I think it's happening at my place as well. And we, you know, today it's not a great day for the tech.
I think it's since I stopped shaving.
That's it. I mean, you know, looking at Stian's beard and, you know, his general haircut there. I mean, is that something that Clive's now going to aim for?
I think I've got a long way to go.
You've already had plenty of compliments for it, though, in the comments, Stian, tonight.
Well, that's lovely to hear. Having a Norwegian look at it. I get a lot.
Absolutely. But I'm going to keep mine short and no beard, though. I don't suit a beard, especially a ginger one. Clive, me and Stian there, whilst you were sorting your iPad issues out, we're talking about being surprised by the back three on Saturday afternoon, sort of saying about why did we play it if we didn't have the personnel available? I think we sort of had the same conversation on the coach, didn't we? It works if you've got the right personnel for it. And it was abundantly clear on Saturday that Nigel Clough did not have such personnel available to him.
Yeah, I mean, most of us fancy the idea of having a back three, especially if they've got both wing-backs in play. But we certainly weren't equipped to do it properly. And I thought it was a gamble that probably should have been avoided. It's almost as if Nigel Clough was so hell-bent on going with a three, rather than taking a more pragmatic view and saying, well, what have we got to work with? And it was the old question of square pegs in round holes again, I think. And as a consequence, it didn't work as well as it should have done. And we didn't make lots of mistakes, but we didn't make much at all. I mean, we conceded two goals because of a couple of obvious errors at the back, and they got two players that were alert enough to take advantage of that, and they did. But beyond that, we just didn't seem like a working team.
Yeah, the frustration for me, I think that was the real, real kick in the teeth that we had. A real lack of attacking prowess, a real lack of energy up front, Stian. And I think that's something which we really need to look to put right on Saturday, because there's going to be huge pressure on us, isn't there, being back at home with, you know, a huge, huge crowd with all those season tickets that we've sold.
Yeah, definitely. First home game, let's get it back in main. Personally, I would really love to see Kellen Gordon back in the team. I was surprised he didn't start. And people say lots of things about Lucas Hayden, and he didn't have a very good game, but rather have Gordon in and him further up the pitch and use his strength more efficiently.
Let's go to some more comments from you guys tonight. Keep them coming in and have your say on your team in what will be a shorter Mansfield Matters podcast tonight. Honestly, should not have done a podcast on the first day in a new job. All over the place today, all over the place. Roger says, very poor defending at Salford, but pluses with chances created. So not all bad, and it's only one game. Stay positive for Saturday, because it will be a different story, I'm sure. Richard says, I think we all know the team for Saturday. Only position up for debate is right wing back. The atmosphere on Saturday, says Roger, will be off the scale. And Richard's also gone as far as to pick his team for Saturday, saying Pim, O'Toole, Harbottle, Hawkins, Gordon or Hewitt, Quinn, Maris, Boateng, McLaughlin, Bowery and Oates. Yeah, it's certainly something which we'll look at. And I think what concerns me a little bit, Clive, is the fact that Nigel Clough has sort of said, reiterated the point again, that we're not going to be ready for at least another month. And that's a concern for me, because you look at what happened last year with sort of the slow start and everything, it sort of cost us. I don't want this one to come back and bite us. For me this season, we needed to have a very solid start. And I'm hoping that we can go unbeaten in August to sort of, you know, balance out the Salford game a little bit.
I guess it depends what Nigel Clough means by ready. Does he mean perfect? Because then I accept we're going to take a while to get there. If he means ready enough to beat teams in our league, then that should start on Saturday. Certainly, we cannot afford the morale sap of losing two consecutive games. And we went most of last season pretty much invincible at the One Call Stadium. We really need to hit the ground running this year, I believe. But it's only one game in, and even if we did lose on Saturday, we're only two out of 46, a long way to go. And as we saw last year, a run of form completely turns the table on its head. So it's too early to worry about it. It's too early to panic. And it's certainly too early to start pulling players apart.
Staying with
you on social media have started to do.
Staying with social media at the moment, I think one question many supporters had staying on Saturday on the way home was, did Nigel Clough get it wrong in terms of team selection, formation? He didn't have much personnel available to him, but did he perhaps get it wrong?
You know, after the game and how it panned out, I mean, football is very much also a mental game, and it's the first game of the season, and 5 minutes in, 7-1 up, that's hard to recover from, like, first minutes into the game or in the season. But as I said, I'd like to, with the players available, I'd like to see him play the formation that got us easily the most points gathered since October in the league, and also Mecca playing back on the left back out with Quinn, that Mecca Quinn link up that got cut because of the team selection. So yeah, I mean, and I think when he means it's going to take a while for the team to get ready, it's also some new things and a new system to get in place. So of course things take a while, but still the team gets players to take 3 points against Tranmere, no doubt.
Yeah, I think we do. I think we just need that little bit of energy. What about you, Clive? Did Nigel Clough get it wrong a little bit for you? I think, for me, it's a difficult one because of the personnel he had available, but I felt a little tweak. All right, he wants to play this back three, and, you know, I've been a big advocate of it during the pre-season about us playing three, but like I've emphasised a number of times, only when you've got the personnel available. I felt for Salford, knowing what he knew, you know, with Ollie Hawkins suspended, Perch out injured, Elliot Hewitt not yet fit, he didn't start Callum Gordon. I felt he should have gone with a back four rather than a three, and I think he's got to take some responsibility for that at Salford.
I think with the benefit of hindsight, you're right. And I'm sure that if he had the chance to pick his team again and the format again, he may well do things differently. I'm not qualified to say whether he's got it wrong or not. All I know is it didn't work. But apart from the format and the team shape, with the exception of the keeper, not one of our outfield players had a commendable game. That all looked off the pace. Some of that's down to poor interplay and poor service. I accept that. But what it needed was someone to take the team and shake it on the field. There was no leader. There was nobody, you know, charging around and slapping players to get them going because they seemed lethargic.
Yeah, I agree. In terms of having a leader, having someone there to take control and really get the team going. And I felt we definitely lacked that a little bit. It almost felt, Clive, like we used it as another pre-season friendly, almost like we'd not clicked into game mode yet.
Well, I think there's some truth in that, because whilst it's 3 points lost, if you treat it as a friendly, we did start this season earlier than we would normally do. We finished last season later than we would normally do. It's put us in a difficult position. I don't think the quality of our position in our pre-season friendlies helped a great deal either. I don't think we tested ourselves rigorously enough. And that's not the club's fault. That's probably more to do with the exception of the lower ranking clubs. It's down to the teams that come to play against us. But we started off this season with less energy than I expected us to have. And we can't afford that, because it's no good saying, well, we haven't got a big enough squad. We've had enough players there. It's a question of which ones have been retained and which ones have retained fitness, more importantly. It does worry me that players at this level do seem to get unfit very quickly, get injured very quickly, and take a long time to recover.
Yeah, I definitely don't know about what side played against Sheffield Wednesday's under-23s today. That would have been a real interesting one to find out who did get minutes in that one and actually how far away we are from people. We're going to talk transfers in a little while, and got a bit of injury news as well which Nigel Clough mentioned after the game. I'm just going to go back to some more comments. Roy says, Clough talks in riddles. Last week, he and the players were ready for it. Now we're six games away. Needs to make his mind up. Adam says, and this is a great point, Steven, this. It's great having an attacking defence so long as they are a defence. He's hit the nail on the head, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, because that's the thing with the three that I would like really be excited that Gordon and Maka to defensive role. But as you see in this as well, we were cut apart in the goals that Salford scored. And yeah, I mean, and first game at this level as well for players like Harbottle. So we have to be with the players as well. And also things will shape up with Hawkins getting back in there, Perchy as well at some point.
I think Steve makes a good point there, Clive, in terms of Harbottle and Swan. And Clough mentioned it himself. Pretty much for both of them, more Harbottle than Swan. It was their Football League debut.
Yeah, we're asking a lot of the lad to take a huge amount of responsibility in that back line. Now, I thought he played reasonably well, certainly in the first half. He lost it in the second half, to be fair. But these players are going to grow into it, and we have to have enough patience. And that's easier said than done when the rest of the team isn't pulling its weight. And it didn't pull their weight against Salford. But let's be clear, Salford are not a bad side. They're going to do all right this year. And I think they have a couple of bright, quick strikers, which I'd die for in our team at the moment because we just haven't got that. I thought had a poor game as well on Saturday, but it could be simply that he wasn't in a team that was favouring him as a player. And I found him playing in a far too deep at times, presumably in order to try and get the ball. But we will get better than that, and that's the positive to take from it.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. I think with the Reece Oakes comments, certainly had to come a lot deeper than what he would have expected to do on Saturday, mainly because we were just struggling to get hold of the ball. And, you know, the Lucas Aikins haters group certainly had more fuel for their campaign on Saturday. Didn't have the greatest of games. Let's go back to some more comments. Owen says, evening chaps, hopefully a bounce back from Salford this weekend. Hope all is well. Absolutely. For me, Salford felt like an experiment, he continues from Clough. Bowery isn't a wing back with Hewitt and Gordon on the bench. I wasn't keen with his selection choices. However, hindsight's a wonderful thing and I can understand the lack of player availability. Martin asks, who's this Wimbledon midfielder we're linked with? Surely we need an experienced defender. I've got no idea. That's the first I've heard of being linked with anyone from AFC Wimbledon. So not sure on that one. Let's find some more comments. Roger says, Thomas Asante was the player who exploited the Stags' defences like he did in the previous fixture. I'm a bit surprised they didn't have a plan for him. Well, Clive, I've got a plan for him. It involves John Radford's chequebook and some negotiating.
I think that ship has sailed.
You never know, though. You never know. I don't know. I just like him. I think he's a good physical player. I think he's the type of player that we could need. I'm actually really surprised that Salford still have him. I would have thought they would have cashed in on him by now. If they haven't, if they don't this window, I think they probably might next window. Absolutely. Let's talk about player availability then and transfers, Steve. And a few people talking there about being linked with a midfielder from AFC Wimbledon. Like I say, it's the first I've heard of any of that. A lot of talk naturally over the weekend was about Danny Johnson. Scored a hat-trick on his debut for Walsall. Firstly, what do you make of the whole Johnson saga?
I mean, Clough has been pretty clear on it a number of times that, although, I mean, he's proven in Orient as well, he's a prolific striker at this level, but Clough has banned and yeah, he showed again with Walsall now with a hat trick that he can bang in goals at this level. But yeah, I mean, Clough is at the field at the training ground every day, and he the one making our fitting to that 11. And if Danny isn't part of that plan, then that's it. And at least he's just on the loan. And I think he's 1 year left of the contract. If he does continue playing like this, at least his value might go up, and have a good point of selling him for a January and getting a good replacement.
Yeah.
If he doesn't change his mind about him actually in the team.
Personally, I don't see him changing his mind one little bit, Clive. I think the writing's very much on the wall with Danny Johnson. He would have gone on a permanent deal, but for whatever reason, it didn't quite go through, which I think is perhaps with a view on us keeping an eye on him. And if we don't get the players which we want, bringing him back to add to the numbers in the squad in January. But I think it's very, very much a dead deal. And that's why I sort of said on social media, I've taken a little bit of flack for it. I don't mind it, because I think a lot of people, probably 90% of people, are very frustrated that Johnson's gone, because he's a proven goal scorer at Leyton Orient, and obviously he scored a hat-trick, which didn't help when we played so poorly up front against Salford. But we've got to let it go. We can't change it. It was a dead deal. And, you know, if he had have played for us on Saturday, I don't think he'd have made much of an impact, because it's clear that he wasn't settled at Mansfield and isn't settled at Mansfield. And for whatever reason, that was stopping his game. He doesn't fit into how we play, and he wasn't doing the business for us. As frustrating as it is to see him banging goals in for another club in our division, we've got to let it go, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, the lad didn't get much of a chance, to be fair to him. But from what I understand, his attitude became quite sour. And the club is never going to say that, but that is what appears to be coming out of the club, in that he wasn't a good team member. He was late for training. He didn't mix with the other players, blah, blah, blah. How much of that is true, I don't know. But the reality is, I think Steer's got it spot on. If he can score a few goals for Walsall, then his value increases, and he's still our player. I don't see him ever coming back to play for us. But if he has a good half season, then we have an asset worth more than what it was at the start of the season.
Yeah, it's certainly one of those where his value will shoot up if he does score goals, and it means that we can play devil's advocate a little bit, maybe put the fee up a bit more and try and entice, you know, Walsall to put a bid in for him. It's a dangerous game to play, Stian, but I think like a few people are saying in the comments, you know, he's no longer our player, and we have to move on, and we just wish him all the best luck. It's one of those moments and instances, isn't it, where you've just got to sort of bite your tongue and watch it unfold.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. And we have to look elsewhere to get another striker in. I mean, yeah, that's it. Sailed. And it's just going to benefit us that he's going to bang in goals for Walsall. So, and hopefully that will get us a deal in January, and then we could borrow a club from.
Yeah, keep your comments coming in. Let's read some more. Roy says, Craig, he never got a chance. No wonder he was fed up. He didn't get a chance, but, you know, he was training every day, and that's where you earn your name. That's where you get the neon sign growing around you saying, pick me. So there is that as well. Roger says, for whatever reason, it worked out. It never worked out for DJ at the Stags. Adam says, DJ came across as arrogant, not a Clough or his dad ethos. Richard says, the whole Johnson saga doesn't interest me, as he's no longer our player at the moment. Very bizarre how DJ performs for other clubs than the Stags. It is what it is, says Roger. And Richard adds, a Walsall fan said he runs like he's towing a caravan. I think Clough struggled with his lack of work rate. I think that's probably hitting the nail on the head. The other bit of news coming out of Saturday's game, Clive, was Jason Law out for around 3 months with a bit of an innocuous injury. Very, very disappointed for the lad.
Yeah, it just seems to me Atletic yet again is on the fringe of getting into the team as a regular. And something's getting in the way. It's almost like he's destined never to make it at Mansfield.
very frustrating for him. And I think what it also does, Clive, is opens a spot up and means that Nigel Clough has perhaps got to look at bringing somebody in, because like we saw in pre-season, Law was not only cover in that midfield area or playing behind the front two, but he can also operate at left wing back. And Clough won't want to go for 3 months with a slot unfilled. So I would expect to see somebody coming through the door, wouldn't you?
Well, on that subject, Craig, this player, ex-Wimbledon player, free agent, his name's Anthony Hartigan. He's a defensive midfield player. So it could be some, there could be some truth in that, that he's been lined up in case that's the decision the club takes.
Yeah, it would certainly make sense in terms of adding another body to the ranks. I know the whole Ryan Sturck saga could be an option again, but Birmingham wanted a bigger fee. Don't quite think he's the right fit for us, to be honest. Roger says that's awful luck for young Jason. I think he's a decent League Two player. Yeah, absolutely. Wish him a speedy recovery. One of the nicest lads you'll meet off the pitch. We're going to turn our attention now then, Stian, to the first home game of the season. I know we mentioned it a little bit earlier on, but we're going to put a little bit more, milking the cup of tea, if you like, and talk a little bit more about it. Very, very important to have another good season at home. You saw what it did for us last season. Does that put a little bit of added pressure on Saturday's game, the fact that we were so good and so solid at home last term?
Yeah, I mean, I just looked at the home stats, and from that win that was against Tranmere, which got what got us running. I think we have 13 wins, 2 draws and a loss, the one that came against them in the league. So there's big shoes to fill, but I mean, we can only get comfort from the season ticket sale. I mean, it's going to be a packed stadium, and the players are going to look to get revenge for what happened at Salford. So I think as long as the is there and the boys play to some other potential, I think we're going to be all right at home.
Clive, what about you? I think, you know, like Stian said there, a lot of season ticket sales made, club record, home atmosphere is going to be absolutely key. And, you know, like we've seen from a number of oppositions down the years, we have to make our home unhospitable for every single opposition player, manager, coach, and even the supporters at times as well. We want to make Wankhorst Stadium a place where they know they're going to come and get a tough game and a tough ride, but also they're in for a miserable afternoon. They don't want to come.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the aim of every club on their own turf. Mansfield did particularly well in the last two thirds of last season. As Stian said, coincidentally, the turning point was the home game against Tranmere Rovers. And we didn't look back after that in terms of home form. And it also gave us a start for the improved form altogether as well. I think they will come with plenty of fans, so I don't think they'll be intimidated by our crowd in the way that, you know, a Sutton United or a Harrogate following might be. My only concern about us having more season ticket holders is that what is the expectation of these new season ticket purchasers? Is it realistic? Are they going to demonstrate the patience that, to be fair, our crowd did last year? Through the bad run, we didn't really turn on the club or the players, with the odd exception. And I just hope that we're not going to get the nouveau fan becoming impatient and starting to be toxic, because that's there's a capability of our fan base actually being more disruptive for our own team than for the away team, if that happens.
Yeah, Nigel. Yeah. That in his comments, Stian, as well. And I think what Clive says there, he makes a very good point. The expectation levels have got to be maybe lowered a little bit, because it's a long old season, and the last thing we want, like we saw, you know, the year after we failed in the playoffs under Flitcroft, is a toxic atmosphere at Wankhorst Stadium. We want it bouncing like it was last year.
Yeah, that's the key Saturday. And like Clough said, when the stadium is packed, the last thing, or the thing they aim to do when they play Bradford or other team with be a lot of supporters go out and shut silence the home crowd, and that's massive on the players as well. If the field mill is packed and it's silent, that's not going to benefit us the slightest. But going back to that poor run when we had 14 unbeaten games, I think the support showed in that. I mean, I was only watching it from high follow, but something special. That home draw against Port Vale, that was game number 12 or 13 without a win, and wonderful display and wonderful support altogether. And that, after all, it was, will get behind the lads, even if they struggle.
I think that says a lot for you to say that you could feel that over in Norway, that support that was there. I think that that really says a lot. What was it about, what feeling was it? What sort of made you feel that way, that the support was there? What could you sense?
I mean, first of all, the noise coming through, but also like you felt time. I mean, I can't remember how many games it was between that one and the one against Northampton, where you kind of felt like the season's over, but it was something else that really, really gave in a good show, and you could hear the supporters reacting to the good play that was shown. And yeah, it just, for me, that was Vale that really kicked off that momentum and the good run.
Performance-wise, Clive, obviously up against Tranmere on Saturday afternoon. What do Mansfield and Nigel Clough need to do to, A, rectify that Salford result, but B, and most more importantly, kick on and make sure that we do have this solid home start, which we know can be critical in the longer run of things?
Clean sheet, the starting point. We haven't yet proven to be good goal scorers, so we've got to keep it tight at the back. And then we need a bit of luck. During that 14 game where we didn't get a win, apart from a game against Northampton, which I was quite honestly ashamed of them, the rest of the time, they played well. They didn't have the rub of the green. They had some poor refereeing decisions. They made one or two daft errors that were punished. We didn't get hammered by anybody. And so I think the fans felt that. To pick on Steele's point, the fans felt that and stayed positive. At another time in another season, they wouldn't have done. But I think they saw what I saw, which is a team very close to being where it needed to be. And it would get there. And Clough was pretty consistent in his view of that. It would get there. It just needed some trigger. And we got that. We spun it round. So I think against Tranmere tomorrow, we have to put the last week behind us on Saturday. We have to put Tranmere, the Salford result behind us, accept that it's a new game. We've got a slightly stronger squad because of the because Ollie's back in the side. I would imagine he'll slot into the centre of the back. We do need our wing backs to play, and we do need, you know, the pairings that make things tick there. You know, with McLaughlin and Quinn are a pair that work better together. The sum of their parts is great. The total is greater than the sum of their parts. And I think those little areas of compatibility were missing on Saturday.
I'm glad you mentioned Ollie Hawkins there, because I'd nearly forgotten to mention him in tonight's show. And I think he's worthy of a mention tonight, Stian, because obviously what happened at Wembley, gets himself sent off. He had a few dodgy games sort of last year in terms of silly yellow cards and silly little incidences. Newport away springs to mind when he got involved in that, and then subsequently ended up getting John Joe O'Toole sent off, which sort of rocked the boat a little bit and things like that. And, you know, for some, he was painted as a bit of a pantomime villain, but he's come out in his press this week and been really, really positive. And one thing he has done, seeing, is admitted that, you know, he knows he needs to improve. He knows he needs to cut the silly yellow cards out of his game. And that honesty for me is what can really, really be built upon in terms of getting that solid back three, back four, however you want to play it. That honesty is exactly what we need in a side.
speak about us hitting the ground after a loss against Sandsford, even more so for Hawkins getting his minutes after that. Yeah, that situation that occurred at Wembley. And as I said, it's some of those challenges are like, it's hard to give yellow cards. Also the first yellow at Wembley, but yeah, that's what he needs to work on. He at times can look a bit clumsy, and he'll always get in a early challenge and always an early yellow card. But I think, yeah, as he said himself, it was a tough days after Wembley, and he's worked on it. And that, I don't know how many games he's played central before entering Mansfield last season. So I think he's going to be vital for us this season as the central defender of the three.
Yeah, another good point as well there made by Steve and Clive in terms of Hawkins playing there. We knew he was capable of playing there because he played a couple of games, I believe, for Ipswich in that position and teams like that in his previous career, but only sort of filling in one or two games. He filled in one or two games last season, then one or two became three or four, and then before you know it, he's now actually classed as a defender on the club's main website and in Nigel Clough's assessment of the squad. And one thing which really stood out to me, Clive, in his comments, Hawkins' comments, that is, was saying that, you know, he can sit in there and he can maybe get through 90 minutes or whatever as cover, but to play there on a regular basis, it's a new skill and new discipline to learn, and that's something he's keen to do.
Yeah, I think he's now accepted. He's in our squad as a defender, and I think on occasions he won't be, but by and large he'll be a defender, which is, if you like, a reversal of what we expected when he first came. Mm-hmm. The player's got talent, and I personally don't mind him getting yellow cards during the season. He's had plenty of disciplinary problems throughout his career. I really don't mind defenders getting yellow cards. They're there to be aggressive, and occasionally they're going to overstep the mark. But the stupidity of the man when he got booked for things that on the halfway line, when you let it go, you take it for the team further back. And certainly the discipline down at Rodney Parade was awful. So I think the lad's got a little bit of a thought rationality problem. But he's, as a player, he's great in the air. He's great when in the defence, when the ball's coming to him. If he's got a weakness, he's as slow as an old bus. So he doesn't make a good striker, in my opinion. And when the ball gets behind him as a defender, he can be a liability. And that's why the strength of the players to each side of him have to be really good. Get that right, and it's a really good defensive partnership. And we can always send him up for free kicks and corners.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Like people have said in the comments, Hawkins, great going up for corners, says Adam, but he's not a defender too slow. His pace was the comment from his teammates on social media, teammates' posts. And I would agree with that if we were playing a back four, but Clough has very much said, when he's been talking about this back three, that Hawkins is the centrepiece of that. And I think that, like Clive said, with two players either side of him that can complement and cover for that pace, he shouldn't get exposed. Exactly like Richard says, I wouldn't be surprised if Hawkins was man of the match on Saturday. In a back three, he shouldn't get exposed with a lack of pace. We've just got to get those players around him right. Well, that's almost all we've got time for. Before we do end the show tonight, obviously, we're going to continue with podcast predictions this season. It's changed ever so slightly. We're now predicting the outcome, the scoreline, and the golden goal. There are various points up for grabs for it. Full details on our website. The link is in the description. Clive, you're up first this week. I need a outcome, a scoreline, and the time of the opening goal, please.
The score is a reversal of Saturday, so a 2-0 win. And we'll score, the first goal will emerge in the 24th minute.
And excellent.
Do you want the scorers?
No, we don't need scorers now.
All right, fair enough.
But if you want to have a random guess, you can, but you don't earn any points for it.
Hawkins and Oates.
There you go. If Hawkins and Oates do score, you don't earn any points, but we'll call you Mystic Clive. Stian, you're the guest on the show tonight. We're obviously going to get you involved with this as well. So we'd like your prediction. So the outcome, the scoreline, and the time of the first goal, please.
I'm going to say a 1-0 win. And I'm going to guess they'll come in the 40th minute. And I will, as a spice to it, going to say East goal from Hawkins.
There we go. Again, no points. We get no points if you manage to guess that correctly, but all good for the predictions. I'll go with... Sorry, Clive, you were saying something. I had you on mute because you echoed through me at the minute. So what were we saying then?
I was saying the attendance will be 7,499.
Yeah, you don't get any points for that either. My prediction, I think we're going to steal it 2-1. It'd be a tight game and the opening goal will come in the... I'm going to go second half. 52nd minute for me. If you want to play along with podcast predictions, the link that you need is in the description. Make sure that you get your predictions in 1 hour and 1 minute before kickoff. And we've got somebody who will be doing all the maths for us this season. So you can't blame me if the points in the league are wrong. Link in the description. Please do get involved. Stian, before we let you go and before we say goodbye for tonight, obviously you're going to be writing a blog for us all throughout this season on our website. Just tell the people a little bit more about you. When was your first Mansfield game? When was the last Mansfield game you came to? And who was your all-time favourite Stags player?
Well, my first trip was in, I guess it was February 2018. A comfortable 3-1 win against Barnett and Braden Steve Evans. So yeah, times have changed. And of course, also took the trip to Wembley when we got there. I listened to your commentary and followed your order, booked your tickets. Still listen to your commentary at the Sixth Field. It's gives me goosebumps actually.
Thank you.
And the all-time favorite player, I have to say Stephen Quinn. I absolutely adore that man.
It's a ginger thing. It must be a ginger thing. Stian, thanks so much for coming on tonight. Really, really appreciate your time. Make sure that if you want to hear more from Stian, he'll be popping up every now and again on the podcast during the course of the season, and his blog will be on our website every single week. So make sure you go and check out the Norwegian Stag on our website, and you can also give him a little follow on Twitter as well. Clive, as always, thanks very much for your company as well. We'll see you again next week, and we'll let you know when we're going to be live as well. Make sure you follow us on social media. Two big games coming up this week, of course. Tranmere at home in the league, then Derby at home in the cup. Lots and lots to talk about as the season continues. And if you fancy following the footsteps of the Norwegian Stag and being a guest on the Mansfield Matters podcast, all you've got to do is drop us a DM on social media and we'll do our best to get you involved. And who knows, if Nathan and Cam stop bothering to turn up, you might even become a permanent fixture. Until next time.
Well, there you are. Another episode of the Mansfield Matters podcast is signed, sealed and delivered. The conversations have been had. The debates have been debated. And the language barrier has just about been passed. Oh, and we've managed to get through an hour and a bit of no technical... No, who am I kidding? I'm sure over the last hour and a bit, there's been at least a problem with Nathan's microphone, a dog barking, or Clive going pixelated. It wouldn't be the Mansfield Matters podcast if it went cleanly, would it? As always, thanks for your company tonight, getting involved in the comments. If you listen to the audio version of this, make sure you come and join us. Follow us on social media and we'll let you know on there when we're next going to be live. Make sure you get involved with the brand new podcast predictions as well. The link that you need is in the description. Get yourself to One Course Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Mansfield Town against Tranmere Rovers. The first home game of the new campaign. Let's start this campaign at home like we did with the last campaign. Winning. Getting off to a good start. Making it a great atmosphere. And making One Course Stadium a really, really difficult place for teams to play. And the type of place where supporters don't want to come either. We've been to plenty of those over the years. I'm sure you know what I mean. Come on, you Stags. Let's hope we can get the first 3 points on the board for this season then on Saturday afternoon. And continue our quest towards something good this season. I've been Craig Priestma. Thanks, as always, to the Mansfield Matters panel and to you guys for listening at home. This is the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Good night.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.